Good evening and welcome to another edition of Cheater and the Rude, tonight with ambient noise. You know, this filibuster reform has so shaken me to the core that I have decided to turn to the experts to discutter, that's a new word when there's a lot of clutter that you have to discover, stupid mutter. I want the experts to discuss the other big news, of course, that's rocking the world, that's Rob Ford up in Toronto. So we're going to turn to my friends, Benari Poulton and Kevin Janis, at the Where the F Are We podcast. They're going to break it down for you guys as only they can. I know Cheater and the Rude listeners will love them. Don't forget to check out Cheater and the Rude every week. I'm Jeff Chrysler, author of Get Rich Cheating. Google that. Find me at Jeff Chrysler's the Twitter. And now listen to a little bit about Toronto.
Hey everybody, welcome to Where the Fuck Are We? The foreign affairs show that asks the three most important questions for Americans.
Where the fuck are we? Why the fuck are we there? And what the fuck does it have to do with me?
I'm Kevin Janis.
I'm Benari Poulton.
And who the fuck are we?
Barry, tell them who we are!
Benari Poulton is a writer and comedian, an adjunct professor at Cal State Fullerton, and a master sergeant in the U.S. Army Reserve, where he is affectionately known as G.I. Jew. Kevin Janis, in addition to being a very funny comedian and writer himself, is a fancy New York-based litigator, a Canadian, and like all Canadians, an expert at being foreign.
Thanks, Barry. Now, sometimes a world news story breaks and it just hits right close to home.
Yes, yeah, so where the fuck are we this week? Why, we're in Kevin's hometown of Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
Yes, Toronto. My hometown. Canada's largest city. The fifth largest city in North America, a cultural mecca for the arts, and one of the cleanest, greenest, most livable and multicultural cities on the planet.
And why the fuck are we there, Kevin?
Well,
because your mayor is a crackhead.
Oh, besides, I will fuck when he's dead, he'll make sure that motherfucker's dead. I need fucking 10 minutes to make sure he's dead.
Admittedly, yes.
Admittedly, your mayor admitted he is a crackhead. So, just so we're clear, one of the most well-respected cities in the world elected a guy who not only gets drunk in public, yells offensive things at hockey games, but who smoked crack on camera. How the fuck does this happen?
Okay, look, if we're going to talk about this story, I think it's important to put it in the greater context of Toronto and its proud, rich history.
Good deflection, Kevin, getting us to cram hundreds of years of history into a highlight reel. This ain't history. This is the Blitz-tory!
Toronto, T.O., the T-Dot, Hollywood North,
Hogtown,
1610-ish. Etienne Brulé blazes a trail into the history books as the first European to set foot in the vicinity known as Toronto.
1787, the Brits put money down for the Toronto Purchase, sending the native Mississaugas packing.
1793. The Crown rebrands the Upper Canadian Township as York.
And it doesn't take long for division rivals the U.S. of A. to stir up trouble with the Battle of York during the War of 1812.
1834. York rebrands itself again, this time as the City of Toronto. And they could go all the way! Toronto comes roaring into the 20th century with giant leaps forward in public transit, journalism.
And don't forget sports!
1906 ushers in professional hockey in Toronto. The Toronto Maple Leafs dominate.
But only until 1967. 1923, two researchers at the University of Toronto win the Nobel Prize for Medicine by discovering insulin. Diabetics of the world rejoice.
None of that helps the Toronto Stock Exchange in 1929, when it suffers its worst loss in history. But Toronto bounces back with tremendous victories in medicine, the arts,
and Canada's greatest gift to the world, Tim Hortons.
1970, from first of all, Kevin Janis is born.
What year was that?
The CN Tower opens big in 1976.
It takes the title of tallest freestanding structure in the world at the time.
1977, the Toronto Blue Jays explode onto the scene, dominating baseball in the 80s and 90s.
But it doesn't.
And winning back-to-back World Series titles in 1992 and 1993. Before the baseball strike of 1994 cowardly cuts Toronto's championship streak short.
But in 1998, as that once proud team collapses, Toronto expands, amalgamating all the boroughs into a megacity.
And Toronto closes out the 20th century by topping Montreal as Canada's largest city and the economic capital of the country.
Who knows what future victories await the City of Dreams?
But you'll hear about it right here first on The Blitstering.
All right, Kevin. We get it. All right, we get it. Toronto is one of the most livable and multicultural cities in the world. But that doesn't change the fact that Toronto's mayor is a crackhead.
All right, I think it's important to understand that Rob Ford has been a blemish and an embarrassment to Toronto for years, even before he was mayor.
Yes, but Toronto elected him. He's the duly elected mayor. So how the fuck does this happen?
All right, look, the people who elected him, okay, have been likened to the Tea Party. They're called Ford Nation. They're mainly angry suburban voters, and Rob Ford has cleverly tapped into this suburban downtown divide in Toronto by whipping his base into a frenzy over spending cuts and lower taxes. His campaign slogan was "Stop the gravy train."
Look, Kevin, I watch the news, okay? The real news in America, and American news says he's basically just a Canadian Chris Christie. He's a straight-shooting man of the people who's wildly popular, and nothing he does, not even smoking crack, can ruin his popularity. American news wouldn't grossly mischaracterize something, would they, Kevin?
He's wildly popular among Ford Nation. Possibly gang members, definitely drug dealers.
Okay, but you have to admit that is a pretty impressive cross-section there.
And he is a straight shooter, if straight shooting includes hopped-up rants and drunken stumbling through the streets.
No holds barred, brother. He dies right by, brother. Brother, you've never seen me fucking go like that.
He's just telling like it is, brother. He's a man of the people. You got that? Man of the people, brother!
He loves Hulk Hogan, and he's a man of the people if those people are affluent suburban crack addicts.
Okay, so we still haven't explained how the fuck this happened. Why the fuck are we here? For real.
Flashback to 2010. A lot of it was timing. It was the perfect storm for a guy like Rob Ford in Toronto. Prior to his election as mayor, this guy had been a city councilor for a decade, just doing killer retail politics. He was hyper-attentive to his constituents. I mean, he'd give out his cell phone number, and he'd say, call. If you have a pothole, anything, brother, you call me.
Okay, so during this time, they have a liberal mayor.
Right. David Miller. Okay, Miller was elected in 03, re-elected in 06.
Okay, so this liberal guy, Miller, he's there, and in the summer of 09... he basically decides it's a good idea to go to war with the garbage union?
Yeah, his base. He pisses off his union base, Miller, and goes to war with the garbage union. He loses, but not before Toronto spends a summer with rotting trash choking the city.
All right, so this is the perfect time then for a man of the people, brother, like Ford, right?
Woo!
Perfect time for Ford to make his play. Look what these pinko hippies did to our city, brothers!
Yeah! No, that's exactly it. Miller's just a disaster. Okay, he announces he's not running again, and his deputy mayor doesn't stand a chance because he's too tied to Miller's incompetence. The other candidates are a joke with no political base, and everyone in the city is pissed off. And in steps Ford with his loyal base, exploiting the downtown suburban divide and the justified anger over the garbage. So he whips up Ford Nation into a frenzy, and he wins in October 2010 with just 47% of the vote.
All right, so he's nothing like Chris Christie except that they're both fat. Good job, American media.
Rob's more like a circus clown. It's like the WWE run by Karl Rove.
Here's what I love about this guy. Right from the start, he's a mess. I mean, obviously he's got a substance abuse problem. But he's belligerent, he's dismissive, he talks like Randy the Macho Man Savage. He turns all these weaknesses into a strength of his.
Yeah. Here's a clip, okay, this is an actual clip from his first interview with the CBC after winning the election, okay? This is an actual thing that happened.
Mr. Ford, congratulations.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
People are saying it's calling it a stunning win. What do you think that...
Things are going really well.
What drew so much support?
Oh, Chapter Juniors aren't even here, eh? All right.
Hello, Mr. Ford. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah.
Oh, are you at some event or?
I'm a coach. I'm a football coach.
Okay, so you're at football practice then.
Yes.
All right. Well, okay. We'll continue then. What is it do you think drew so much support to your campaign?
No, it's just people are sick and tired of the wasteful spending. People are sick and tired of wasteful spending. That's the bottom line. That's what it comes down to.
Well, they were.
You know, I'm the only one that could go down there. You just go get changed.
Go out and get changed. Don't worry about the water right now.
Sorry.
Uh huh.
So yeah, no, people are just fed up with.
Well, yeah, they're just, you know, people are just upset. I'm just hey, put down that guy. Get over here! You run laps!
You little twerp!
So, I just, you know, I'm just a regular down-to-earth
mayor. I'm gonna straighten out this city. Miller was a wuss.
Yeah, but here's the kicker. That's exactly... Okay, it sounds like he got caught at a bad time.
Yeah, they're calling him.
It's exactly what he wanted. Listen to this, the last lines of the interview.
Hi, Mary, just to clarify for our listeners, earlier today we spoke with Rob Ford's Director of Communications, Adrian Batra, and she had asked us to call Rob Ford at that football practice at 3 o'clock this afternoon, and that's what we did.
So he didn't walk into an ambush.
No!
He lured them into his trap.
Yeah.
So this is just a carefully crafted part of his image.
Well, I mean, it's hard to tell what's real and what's theater with Rob Ford, but... He really was a football coach, and he really did love that job, probably more than his real job. He'd storm out of council meetings in the middle of business to go coach football, and if people complained, he'd just yell at them. He'd actually say to them, "What do you have against football? Do you hate the minority kids on my team?" Last fall... suddenly a bunch of Toronto public transit passengers, okay, they're on a bus in the rain, and they get thrown off because Ford has commandeered that bus to go and pick up his football team.
What, you think you going to work is more important than my kids playing football? Fuck you, buddy. Get off the bus.
Publicly funded transit, taxpayers on the bus, they get thrown off in the rain. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Well... You gotta hand it to him, though. He never deviates from his message. He is on point. He's consistent. He says the same three things over and over again. He's always been this way. You know exactly what you're getting with Rob Ford. We actually have a couple of clips of him. Here he is back in '02 as a councilman fighting against homeless shelters.
This is a bylaw opening the door to make every ward have a shelter. That's the black and white of the issue here. Okay? I'm sorry to say, this is an insult to my constituents to even think about having a homeless shelter in their ward. And you want me to have a public meeting to discuss this? Why don't we have a public lynching?
Who's getting lynched? They're talking about sheltering the homeless, and he's like, yeah, you might as well just string me up on a tree then if that's what you're going to do. What is...
Fuck the homeless.
How dare they try and find homes? In my district? Not in my district, brother. Not in my district.
No. Oh, yeah! Do you know what this is doing to me personally?
So here he is. Okay, here's now you want to talk about message. He is absolutely consistent with one message. This is his personal crusade against bikes, or as he calls it, the war on cars. Here he is in 2009.
I'm going to be a street shooter as I always am. When I drive downtown every day... or at least three or four times a week to come to City Hall. There's no secret. Okay? The cyclists are a pain in the ass to the motorists. Like, let's be quite frank.
Councillor, I remind you of the need to
But hold on. Okay, I will retract the word ass. But
look. Obviously, he's a passionate man. He says it himself. He's a straight shooter. You know, sometimes straight shooters just shoot at the ass.
Absolutely. Straight shooters love ass.
But here he is, same issue 2 years earlier in 07.
Yeah.
I can't support bike lanes. How many people are riding outside today? We don't live in Florida. We don't have 12 months a year to ride on the bikes. And what I compare bike lanes to is swimming with the sharks. Sooner or later, you're going to get bitten. And every year, we have dozens... of people that get hit by cars or trucks. Well, no wonder. Roads are built for buses, cars, and trucks, not for people on bikes. And, you know, I feel my heart bleeds for them when I hear someone gets killed. But it's their own fault at the end of the day.
What?
Hey, you did it to yourself. You shouldn't have been standing in this city that's built for cars and trucks and buses.
And you know what? Ford Nation laps it up. But it's interesting. He mentions Florida there. Did you hear him mention Florida?
Oh, yeah. It's not Florida. In case you were wondering, Toronto is not Florida.
It's not Florida. But on the eve of his election as mayor, it came out in 1999, Rob Ford was arrested in Florida for pot and a DUI.
No wonder he's got it out against those hippies in Florida. They won't let you drive drunk down there or smoke pot, hippies.
He just denied, it never happened, fabrication, until it all came out, and he had to admit it. Does this sound familiar?
There has been a serious accusation from the Toronto Star that I use crack cocaine. I do not use crack cocaine, nor am I an addict of crack cocaine.
Do you smoke crack cocaine?
Yes, I have smoked crack cocaine. Probably in one of my drunken stupors.
So he's just sticking to his playbook, and this is how he's winning elections. So why would he ever stop?
Yeah, why would he stop today? Just do the same thing. Keep stringing it out, as crazy as it sounds.
Well, base doesn't care about it.
No. Ford Nation doesn't care about the behavior. I mean, look, some love the spectacle, and any voters who have been outraged by him, it doesn't matter, because he doesn't need their votes, right? I mean, he just needs Ford Nation's votes. He just needs enough to win.
Right, and when you're talking about Toronto politics, he's really taking advantage of this polite culture of discourse and inclusiveness and all these things that he mocks.
Well, I'm not going to disagree with you, but even worse, at the end of the day, look, Torontonians don't take politicians seriously in the first place. Politicians, they're all buffoons.
Yeah, and this guy is the buffooniest. He's just proving their point. It's not like American politics where we still try and cling to some hope of illusion.
In the U.S., if you're at a dinner party and you start talking politics, there could be a fist fight. But in Toronto, you start talking politics at the dinner table, people are like, why are you talking about politics?
And then a fist fight breaks out over hockey.
Exactly.
We have our priorities.
And for some of my friends, you know, when I'm getting angry about what's happening in Toronto, because obviously I've lived in the U.S. too long, they're just watching the Rob Ford entertaining sideshow. Because how much damage could one buffoon possibly do?
Well, that's what scares me the most. Look, it's amazing how quickly he's able to completely derail the process, the actual legislative work.
Yeah, listen to this clip and how in under a minute he takes a polite, calm, boring, yet productive city council budget meeting and turns it into an absolute shit show.
Thank you. Now, we had looked before at the culture budget and the question was raised about the grants. And my understanding from staff is that those grants are in which...
There is no way I am going to sit here and take this nonsense. I'm telling you right now. Okay?
Council.
And you're not going to continue this meeting until I get to move that budget. Because this snake should be back in his cage where he comes from. You slithering
snake. Chairman.
He's the one who did it. I know he's a weasel. And weasels and snakes belong in the zoo. Okay, and I'm not letting this go.
No, councillor.
You guys can grab a recess.
It's unparliamentary. Unparliamentary.
Oh.
You know, Councillor, there are rules.
He has to be removed, David. He has to be removed. He scares me. I'm not.
Councillor, please. Council.
Mr.
Councillor, no.
On a point.
You did it out of spite. Okay, you got
members of council.
Mr. Chairman, on a.
No, members of council. Let him yell for a minute and blow off his steam, and then we'll go on with our meeting.
We're going to sit here.
On a point of privilege.
No, we're not going to sit here, Councillor.
A point of order, Mr. Chairman.
Please,
it is time that
Councillor Johnson, please. Let me please deal with the member that's there without everyone else jumping up and looking as silly as he does.
Even the polite guy loses his shit. The calm, reasonable Torontonian who's running the meeting loses his shit because of Rob Ford. So, my God, this guy, Rob Ford is an agent of calculated chaos. He's like the Joker.
Yeah, I mean, look, fortunately, city council has been working around him for years, but you can see how tough it is to contain the crazy.
Oh, yeah, and you can hear that they first they're just treating him like he's a 7-year-old kid and just let him play, let him wear himself out. He'll tucker himself out and go cry in the corner.
And they've been doing it for years. So while everyone in the world is focused on his Crackfest 2013, this is what's been happening on the actual floor of city council for years.
Yeah, when we ask ourselves as Americans, what the fuck does it have to do with us, the U.S. of A., aside from being hilarious, and it is hilarious.
No, I'll fight him. I'll try one more time, brother. No holds barred, brother. He dies or I die, brother.
This is exactly what's happening in this country. And it's not just on the local level. It's happening on the national level.
Well, I mean, I agree. It's the same playbook, right? Divisive politics, play to your base, get just enough support to win, screw your critics, and bully the rest.
Yeah, and the only thing we're missing right now is the crack, which would make it more fun. But when you look at what's happening in our Congress, it's the same level of calculated sideshow distractions that paralyze the system.
But it keeps getting you elected.
Well, if you run on the idea that government is broken, all you need to do to succeed is make sure you keep breaking it. So, you know, it works out. And of course, you also have to keep picking fights with people who don't want to fight you, keep scaring people with threats that don't actually exist, defiantly defend yourself against mudslinging.
Oh, okay. Here's some mudslinging, right? So we have a great Rob Ford example of this. So basically, a reporter catches Rob Ford in a lie on the floor of city council. Bullface lie. And when Ford refuses to answer the question...
And he's caught dead to rights.
Yeah, and here's what happens.
Answer the question.
Why did you just call him a fat fuck?
Yeah, why did you call him a fat fuck?
Why did you just call him a fat fuck?
You did. You said that.
Barbara,
you did that.
Why did you... I just heard you.
That's right. You heard it, okay? What did you say? What did you just say?
You just called him a fat fuck.
You called me a fat fuck.
Why did you call him a fat fuck?
You did. You just did.
Why did you just
do that, Barbara? Are you going to lie about
Barbara,
you said that.
Shit show. He just turns it into a shit show again.
And meanwhile, everyone's forgotten that this fat fuck Ghazi all started with Rob Ford getting caught red-handed in a blatant lie on the floor of city council.
Yeah, and that's him without the crack. But this is his strategy.
Oh, yeah.
And we're talking strategy and long-term planning. That requires a Karl Rove. So where's the Karl Rove in all this?
Yeah, Rob isn't exactly, doesn't seem like a long-term planning kind
of
guy.
No, he's more of an in-the-moment kind of guy. He's going to improv it.
Oh, yeah, baby. In this case, Rob's Karl Rove is his brother Doug.
Of course, Rob has a brother named Doug.
Good day, how's it going? I'm Bob McKenzie, it's my brother Doug.
How's it going,
We got two topics today, back bacon and long underwear.
Oh, man, SCTV really was ahead of its time.
They had no idea how bad it was going to get.
No clue. But all joking aside, Doug is really the brains of this two-man operation. He is the Karl Rove. He's also Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah, so Doug has a weekly radio show.
Well, they both did. It was just canceled, not surprisingly. But yes, Rob and Doug had a weekly 2-hour radio show where they would rant and rave about whatever they were voting on that week in city council. Oh, did I mention Doug is also a sitting city councilor?
Don't you guys have rules up there?
Doug has always been industrious. All the way back to when he was the number one drug kingpin in Etobicoke.
You mean Etobicoke, the Toronto suburb where Mr. Kevin Janis grew up?
Yeah. Apparently, according to an investigative report by the Globe and Mail, Doug Ford ran a hashish empire up the street from where I grew up and a block away from my Auntie Carmela.
So this isn't a very tough neighborhood we're talking about here.
Oh, no. I mean, look, these guys had a very nice life, but... You're looking for an explanation for the drugs, the gang members, the ruthless bully tactics. I mean, here you go. This is what they know. Their brother, Randy, was involved in the drug trade. He was charged with drug-related kidnapping. Their sister, sadly, is a former drug addict, and she was a victim of drug-related gun violence. This is what they know.
Right, but politically, the Fords have been extremely supportive of the police. And up until now, you know, it's been a blank check for whatever the cops needed.
Well, it's kind of classic, right? Like, if you think you're going to need to call in some favors at some point to keep the cops off your back, you better keep them happy.
Here you go, brothers. Here's a shiny new police car. Just don't look over at this crack house I'm paying the utility bills for.
Oh, my God.
All right, brother. You know, Toronto is sounding more and more like Gotham City. You guys don't need a recall. You need Batman.
But all right, not even Batman could get Rob Ford out of office under Ontario's municipal laws.
Yeah, what the hell is wrong with Toronto that's so hard to get rid of this guy, right? I mean, it should be simple. He admitted to a crime.
Look, city council can't do anything under Ontario provincial municipal law. There are no charges against him right now. And even if he is charged under the law, he has to be tried, convicted, and in prison before they can remove him.
Yeah, but didn't they already remove him once?
Well, that was for conflict of interest, but that got overturned on a technicality. That whole thing is very complicated, but basically, city council didn't have the authority to even hold the hearing in the first place.
So even when they want to, they can't do a thing.
No. Did I mention how toothless Toronto city council is?
Yeah, well, meanwhile, Rob and Doug are running a well-oiled cartel over here with thug tactics and demagoguing, and they got their loyal capos, and, you know, Rob's director of operations and logistics was his old, you know, concierge, right?
Yeah, from his hash kingpin days in my neighborhood.
Yeah, so it's no contest.
It's absolutely no contest. Look, we've talked about Syria, Iran, Somalia, but this is hands down the most dysfunctional government we have ever covered.
Well, you know, Canada, we stand on guard for thee.
But this is what happens, okay, when you're asking what the fuck does this have to do with us? This is what happens when voters abandon local politics, when you cede the floor to crazy grassroots movements with no basis in reality, and when you write off an elected politician as a laughable buffoon.
America, if you think it can't happen here, just look to the north. Rob Ford, a cautionary tale.
Like, we haven't even talked about their war with Margaret Atwood.
You know, I think we've beaten up on Toronto enough this week. So for everyone, for the good of all of Canada, let's just get out of here before we fall further down the Rob Ford-sized rabbit hole. folks, keep checking our Tumblr this week. We're going to put up some of these YouTube videos because we have to.
You have to. We have to. You got to see them. Look, we want to thank our producer, Shelley Lewis, our executive producer in charge of all producing, and of course, Greg Russ, our sound engineer.
He's in charge of all sounding. Please follow us on Twitter, @ WTFAW Show, @ Kevin Janis, and @ Ben Ari Lee.
I'm Kevin Janis.
I'm Ben Ari Poulton.
Please join us next time when we try to figure out, where the fuck are we?
And that was our friends, Kevin Janis and Ben Ari Poulton, for their Where the F Are We podcast discussing Toronto. This has been another episode of Cheater and the Rude with my guest experts, Kevin and Ben Ari. We'll be back next week. Please stick around for the final edition radio hour coming up in 2 minutes. The best satire in the world. This is the Progressive Radio Network. We have a catchphrase, and we want you to know it.